Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are counting down to get ready for Monday Night Football. And the Falcons will get back to work. And we are going to be up there on Thursday, guys. Usually it's Wednesdays. Thursday is the day this week because everything gets pushed back. I was just telling Mike, it feels kind of weird because it feels like it's been longer
right.
than just a regular bye week because, again, we don't play until Monday night. By the way, Dave Arch is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. If you missed our pre-show today, first of all, where were you? It happens every day around 11:15-ish or so, and we invite you guys to tune in, Twitch, Twitter Live, Instagram, all the social media platforms. It's on there. But, Mike, it's funny because Day-Day really came at us today and was like, look, everybody's scared of this Bills game. And he's right. I'm scared because this is the best quarterback that we will have faced.
Right.
And as good as the defense has looked. And, by the way, entering Monday's matchup with the stats that are currently out there, we are the number two team in total defense. Now, that may or may not mean anything to you. But, Mike, this is why we are a little bit taken back. Is because we know what Josh Allen's capable of. Despite the stats, we're pretty good. We're number two in pass defense. The Bills are number one. This may be a defensive struggle on Monday night. It may be a low-scoring game.
Nobody wants to see that, Carl. We want to see stuff in the 30s, man. but, yeah, Josh Allen, we were talking about today on the pre-show. It's on YouTube and on Twitch. Just be Googling Dukes and Bell 929. You'll find it. But, yeah, you know, keeping Josh Allen from breaking that 30-yard, 15, 19, something that moves the chains, seemingly the backbreaker. You know, it's just like any quarterback that has that dual-threat capability. It's like, oh, and just – That hurt. And can we do that with the athletes? I mean, why did we draft all those great athletes this year and last year on defense? I mean, yeah, for nights like Monday night. So let's hope we get after it. And then, you know, I think you can run the football with success. I think we got better skill position players than the Patriots. And now that Zach has found his happy place on the sideline, hopefully they'll get it done. I was breaking Day-Day's chops today. Yes, we got one of the best defenses. But, Carl, then again, we don't allow that many yards because every team gets set up on the 50 because our special teams has been so porous on kickoffs. So there is a bit of a an asterisk there, but hey, we'll take it.
They got to get that fixed.
That's part of it.
I hope they got that fixed. I hope going into this game next Monday, on Monday, that part of it, the special teams part of it is fixed. But Mike's right. Here's how we dominate them. Here's how you contain Josh Allen. Hand the ball to Bijan and Tyler Algier. The Ravens guys ran for 238 yards on these guys the first week of the season. You turn around and the Jets, who are terrible, ran for 224 yards the second week of the season on the Bills. You then turn around and the Dolphins, who were 0-for at the time when they played them, ran for 130 yards. Now the Bills ran for 150, but the Dolphins ran for 130. Then you turn around and you go, well, Saints are bad. They are. They ran for almost 200 yards, a buck 89. This is how you beat the Bills. I'm telling you today, I'll say it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and into Monday. That's how you keep Josh Allen off the field, Mike. Sustained drives, and everybody they've played has had success running the ball at these guys. That's what we have to do on Monday night.
Right on. So it's playing to our strengths, you could argue. Now, Sean McDermott, nah, he's always angry, man. He's going to be working on some plans to try to take away some of the things we do best. So the chess game, the game within the game, yeah, I get that. And Jeff Ulbrich, as you said, won't be the first defensive coordinator looking at the film going, okay, how do we stop Josh Allen? Well, first things first, defense, you got to be able to cover the receivers and also have like eyes in the back of your head. Because it seems like everybody gets downfield and whoops, and then there he goes. And that gets back to our linebackers. So how is Ulbrich going to use our linebackers? You know, can Divine Diablo have an impact? Is this a game where Jalen? No, guys always hit us up already. Spy him. Just spy the guy. Somebody gets loose behind him. You know what I mean? That's the thing when you do that with a defender. I mean, I know it sounds good, but I don't know if Ulbrich thinks about that. Maybe situationally, we'll ask Arch about it. I'm sure I can tell Arch's response. He'll go, nah, I doubt it.
Doesn't like it.
But, you know, if you're going to do that, the guy like Jalen Walker sounds like a pretty good spy. But or at least, just lose his athleticism. Just forget him.
I don't know, man. I'm mixed on that as well. But maybe that's the way you limit his scrambles. If you feel like he's scrambling, first of all, do they have anybody that scares you on the outside? Like, Josh makes everybody better, but again, do they have that difference-making wide receiver? I'm here to tell you, they don't have Justin Jefferson. We've seen him already, right? They don't have Ja'Marr Chase. He's struggling because he doesn't have a delivery system right now. And speaking of that, for those who are just tuning in, the Bengals have traded for Joe Flacco. So that came down today, and for every Falcon fan who's going, wait a minute, what happened to Cousins? Too expensive. Look, Flacco is going to play the rest of this year. He can still sling it. They know that. He can go win a couple of games for the Bengals until Joe Burrow gets back in early December. But that deal went down today. But the point is, like their wide receivers are not those guys at Buffalo. You've got to limit these scrambles from Josh Allen, and it gets back to your whole, do you spy him? Maybe, right. Mike, that's how you limit it.
Well, they do have, some guys. They have some pieces.
Well, I'm more afraid of their tight end, to be honest with you. And I said this. Dalton Kincaid, he is like that safety blanket that is always there, and when you need a first down or in the red zone, he's going to find him.
It is interesting because you're right. Kincaid's got the most yards, and then you got Keon Coleman. Coleman, by the way, was sat out for the first series the other night because apparently, I guess he missed a team meeting or was late for something. They didn't give specifics.
Was he a knucklehead at Florida State?
No, I mean, yeah, he was a great athlete. I mean, he was a possession receiver, made some huge athletic grabs, and again, in a team that could have been in the playoff. He had transferred from Michigan State and was always super athletic guy at 6'4". But, yep. He apparently did something which irked the coach, but they moved on and turned the page. But, yeah, he is a guy, but you're right. It's just kind of dudes, and they don't really use – and you and I have discussed this before. James Cook, they don't really take him down the field. He's got just 12 receptions on 14 targets, and I've heard Orlovsky and other analysts, I think I want to say it was Chris Collinsworth the other night saying that, why don't you get a little more involved like we do with Bijan? He didn't specifically state Bijan, but they just use him on very rudimentary routes. Good. Hope they don't decide to break him out against us.
I agree, because he's dangerous. Now, I that's another guy that I would fear because, Mike, he's like Bijan in the sense that he creates mismatches on the defensive side. You got to find a guy that can run with that guy. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can hit us up, guys. Text us at 404-726-0929. It's our text line. It's also our call-in line as well. And find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929, and follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Many ways to get at us, guys. Coming up, daily downloads on the way. We will talk about that crazy game last night and maybe what it means for Jacksonville. I think, Mike, most people from Georgia are rooting for Trevor Lawrence. He came into the league as, and this may be too much, you talk about the hype around Arch Manning, a savior. When he got drafted by Jacksonville, it was like, this thing's about to completely change. And then he gets there and he's got Urban Meyer as his coach, and that was a joke. And he's gone through a couple of different coaches. He's had injuries. But Mike and I were saying earlier, for us, he might have looked as good as we've seen him play since he's been in Jacksonville last year last night. And even though he made a couple of mistakes, I mean, at the end of the day, they found a way to win the game. But we're going to dive into that.
Right.
Hawks as well in the preseason. But, man, Sunshine, that's what we call him, he looks good, and that team is playing really well. The crazy thing, Mike, for me is Travis Hunter hasn't really been a difference maker yet.
Yeah, we spent so much time talking about how he's going to be the ultimate weapon, and so far he's not having an impact on either side of the football. And maybe this was why, and you and I said, oh, the hell with it. It just takes the right team with some imagination and the right coaching staff. And Liam Cohen is pretty imaginative, and they can't seem to squeeze the excellence out of this just yet. Now, it's early days, but this was why some of the OGs that you hear on TV and you hear some of these comments that got passed around pre-draft, well, yeah, I don't believe in that guy going both ways in the NFL. It doesn't work. So it's like, okay, because everyone thought you'd get a Deion Sanders. And, you know, again, even Deion, the most receptions Deion ever had in 1 year was like 18. So it's not like, and as we said, it ain't Chuck Bednarik going all the way back to 1960 with the Eagles who played the whole game both ways. So maybe the experts were right that there's just not a place for that kind of athlete in today's NFL unless they've got to just find the balance because you're a rookie. Now you got to memorize two playbooks, and maybe that is too daunting. I don't know. He also looked like he blew out his hammy last night. You see him?
Yeah.
When it was, who was it? Who's the speed burner for a Worthy? Was going down the field. He was trying to stay with him, and so I don't know if he's a little banged up now as well.
Yeah, I think Travis, again, college, it sounds crazy, but it's just different, man, in the league. And the other part for me, Mike, is I think for you to be really good in the NFL, you got to be singularly focused on one thing. I'm going to be a great linebacker. I'm not going to be a great linebacker and a fullback. I'm going to be a great wide receiver, not a great wide receiver and a corner. That, I think, is what's going on right now. And again, I think everybody just wants to see him do it because we hadn't seen anybody play every snap on both sides of the ball. But even that's not happening right now. So either way, Jacksonville wins. Big win for them last night. And, Mike, we got to mention this here before we go to our first break. And that is, we left the show yesterday and we were talking about, oh, looks like he might retire. He's about to announce his retirement. This is crazy. Last night, Laker ticket prices went up with the anticipation of what this LeBron announcement was going to be.
Right. But how do the Lakers not know this is just a big nothing burger and it's simply a commercial? Yes, the LeBron is taking his talents to Hennessy. And so, if you thought, I thought, okay, maybe, but the tell on this was the guy that's sitting there to do the interview is just an actor. Nobody knew who he was.
Yep.
So it's set up, like if Jim Gray is sitting there, right, or somebody from 60 Minutes is sitting there, oh, okay.
Maybe.
But it's just some dude. So the idea that LeBron was going to have a second decision, yes, he's just. And it's funny because I follow this guy, McNeil, and they have Ralphie from The Christmas Story, a crummy commercial, son of a blank. Because that's all it was.
It was.
Remember, he gets the decoder ring, and he decodes the message. It's like, drink more Ovaltine. Oh, man.
It was weak.
Right.
Do you think, I know you guys watch it. I've not watched the full ad yet. Is it good? Is it okay? I mean, because Mike's right. Nothing burger. We were both like, oh, okay. It's a heck of a way to announce it before the season starts. Pretty right. good. He'll get all
farewell
the love.
Tour.
Yeah, right. He'll get all the love. Is this thing any good? Day Day, did you watch it? Is it a good ad to say?
Well, once I heard, I'll be completely honest.
You didn't watch it?
I didn't watch it because I didn't feel, A, that it was even going to be anything related to basketball.
It wasn't great, man.
It's not a great ad.
It's a LeBron 23 Hennessy bottle. Ooh,
collector's item.
Yeah, it sounds like it was more of him playing off the fact of how he knew what the original decision, the emotions mm-hmm. that were behind.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like he just wanted to play off of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Where was Jim Gray when we need him, man?
Well, to Mike's point, if Jim Gray was sitting there, we would have felt different.
You've got something big you want to tell us?
That's exactly.
If it was Jim Gray, and it was
that
a Hennessy ad.
Now that's a missed opportunity right there.
I ever tell you the story? We were doing the show at the Lodge back in the day. Remember the All-Star game was here in Atlanta, and Pete Rose was here, and Jim Gray, Pete, would you like to take this opportunity to maybe make it? No, I'm just happy to be here at the All-Star game. Maybe a great opportunity to perhaps be contrite. And so we were talking about it, Jim, just let it go. It wasn't happening. And Jim Gray was jogging through Buckhead, and he comes in the Lodge all sweaty, and he's all angry, and he's yelling at us. But anyway. But he, for those who don't know, Jim Gray was the man when we had the decision back in the day.
Yeah. The first.
Yes.
Decision.
The real decision.
Yeah. Where all of you were mad at LeBron. You remember. He's changing basketball.
It was dumb as hell. I know he gave the money to the kids, but in that moment you were like, dude, just cut him a check, LeBron.
Oh, my goodness. All right. It was nothing.
For some computers.
Hey, man, want to remind you, it is coming up every Wednesday night. Join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at teams and athletes making news in the high school ranks across the state, guys. It's brought to you by Ingles Low Prices. Love the savings. It's Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Daily downloads on the way. Dave Arch is going to join us next hour as we start to break down what we expect to see from these Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right there. Hope you're having a great day. We certainly are. Tomorrow we're going to be out and about, hanging out in Hiram at Buffalo's Cafe, and then on Thursday we'll be up at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Does that make you a Hiramite? A Hiramer?
Good question.
Hiramonian?
I'm not sure. That maybe we'll have to present that out there. All I know is everybody is 10 minutes away from that damn restaurant.
Yes.
That's all I know.
So
every time people show up, I'm like, oh, I live right around the corner. Everybody that shows up is like 10 minutes away.
Right. So join the party, pal. And last time, the first time we went up there, it was so darn funny. We literally reenacted Roadhouse. We had a guy who looked like a guy that the bear fell on. We had a guy who looked like the Sam Elliott character. We even had a guy who was sort of quasi Patrick Swayze. So we were missing Wesley. We needed like the Ben Gazzara character. It was a mercy killing. Anyway, but we'll be up there, man. At Hiram, if you looked like you were in the movie Roadhouse, join the party.
Yeah, there's a lot of cats like that. We were missing that one character though. By the way, I think you told me last week that you had watched the Superman movie. I started it.
I like James Gunn. A guy with a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, it reminded me of like the first Superman because there were lighter-hearted moments with it.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, I didn't hate it. You know, I was going to be like, "Ooh, that's the greatest, you know, action movie I've ever seen." I didn't know those other characters that were involved. Never heard of them.
Right.
Because I'm not, you know, not up on my DC universe, but I was entertained. At the end, I was like, "Okay."
Well, that's all I'm looking for, man. I mean, like
I like the dog, and because the dog looks we adopted this dog and my dog looks like Ellie kind of looks like Super Dog, so I was getting a kick out of that.
The dog was great to start the movie, and you're like, what is going on here? But no, I was just going to mention that to you because you had mentioned it to me. I think you said that to me last week, and I was like, no, I never got a chance to go see it when it came out.
So what'd you think?
Well, I'm halfway through, but I've enjoyed it. I mean, so far, like I said, I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm digging this. Easy to follow, fun.
Made $615 million worldwide, more than triple its budget.
It's one of the better DC movies they made here recently, like Fantastic Four. Flop. And I know.
And Fantastic Four always, it made it, there's one version that made some okay money, but it never blockbusts.
No.
It never makes the big move.
It Marvel took it over and just looked at me. And then my man Day-Day said, I liked it. I'm not saying whether you like it or not. It was supposed to be gigantic.
But
with
the Fantastic
Marvel
Four, and by the way, and this is one for the nerds. You can send your hate mail to me.
Nerds!
You know, join on with Chipper. You call me a gas bag. The Silver Surfer is the stupidest concept in all of comic book history. I'll die on that hill. Sorry, Silver Surfer fans. It's just stupid. And I just don't get it. And the Fantastic Four, you know, it's I like Ben Grimm, the thing, you know, the concept of it, but it's never translated as a big hit on the big screen.
It's a setup film to kind of get things going in this whole new Marvel universe. And then if you haven't seen it yet, I'm going to spoil this for you.
Okay.
I'm sorry about this.
All right.
They introduced the big bad at the end in one of those post-credit scenes.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Because
you get the big bad in that one. So I don't know if the Fantastic Four are going to get another movie of their own, but they're going to be in other movies going forward. That's just what that was.
Was Pascal the right cast for that
Mr. Fantastic?
Particular
cast?
Yes.
I thought he did okay.
They're getting some. I saw some stuff on Reddit, and again, everybody's got an opinion. Free country, but he's on so much stuff now. They feel he's overexposed.
Okay. He is in a lot.
But he's great. But he's great in everything he does.
No,
I like the guy.
The problem with Marvel, and I know this isn't a show about. Comics.
No, go ahead. We're
but
fine.
The problem
it's
in
the bye
my,
week. Well, we can do some cartoons. We can do some superheroes.
I think the issue with Marvel is the casual fans they introduced all the popular characters the first time around, right?
Everybody knew them.
Everybody knew them.
Yes.
Then they got into this phase where a lot of these characters, unless you were a hardcore comic
person,
you're not familiar. So you're not going to get that attendance. So I think that's the issue. The casual fans, they probably could care less about a lot.
But what they did was great, though, was that they took some of those characters you didn't know a whole lot about, like the Guardians of the Galaxy.
And expanded on it.
And that blew up. That's been one of their biggest franchises.
Well, that was
right
James
there, so.
Gunn, though.
Because, again, he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And this stuff, and it's funny because we had this conversation when it came out. The new Batman, all the new stuff, it's too dark. And like the Joker, and I know people, it was a phenomenon. The second one, obviously,
that was terrible.
Don't let Todd Phillips have an unlimited budget and, you know, control of the cut.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah,
old school.
There's too much darkness in the world right now. I don't need that one. I want a little bit of escapism when I go to the theater. And this was, I thought, this pure escape has been fun.
I agree. All right. You guys can chime in on that. That's just, I was watching that and I wanted to mention to Mike because he told me last week. He was like, yeah, I finally watched it. It was pretty good. I was like, okay, let me check it out. 404-726-0929. You can text us. Let us know what you think. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Dave Archer about our Falcons. Big O is back. He is behind the glass, our engineer, day-to-day executive producing. Let's get to the daily download.
Story number one.
We're going to get to the Hawks preseason opener, but what about this game last night, Mike? I mean, back and forth, it looks like, okay, Patrick Mahomes, they're going to run the clock down. They're going to score. This thing is a wrap. And all of a sudden, Jacksonville gets a chance to go down and score. And, Mike, they needed one throw. They needed one big play, and did he deliver in Trevor Lawrence?
Man, that was so – and, again, it looked like – I don't know, if you were watching, I'm thinking, well, this game's going to end with a fizzle because Jacksonville, there's no way they're going to convert this. And all of a sudden, absolute dime. That's the thing. We always felt Trevor Lawrence – and I think there's a lot of fans of him up there in Cartersville with good reason. He was like the greatest galactic lock. He's never going to fail. This is the perfect number one pick. Mm. And, you know, you wasted a year because, remember, they brought in Urban Meyer, and that was a disaster. And then Coach Peterson couldn't get more out of him. It was 1 year in the playoffs, and he's been hurt. So it's just been a bit star. I use the phrase star-crossed. And now maybe with Liam Cohen, you know, who rubs some people the wrong way, by the way. But maybe, you know, he's kind of like that Harbaugh, Sean Payton kind of guy that's going to squeeze the magic out of this dude.
It's possible. Here's Patrick Mahomes talking about the Chiefs losing. And he's frustrated because he feels like, you know, the record's not indicative of how good the team really is.
I mean, it kind of just talks about our whole entire season. I mean, I feel like we have the guys, and we've executed at certain points of game and looked really good. And then we kind of crush ourselves with penalties and mistakes and interceptions and fumbles or whatever that is. I mean, it's just we've kind of done that to ourselves all year long. It's kind of been one guy here or there, and in this league, it's so close that those change games. And so we got to be better. You know, we've lost too many games already.
Another one of the things about the Jags, they're one of the more penalized teams in the league. Just 4 for 25, and to your point earlier, Mahomes is right, 13 for 109 yards, and just wrecked it.
It killed him last night. Set him behind the chains, set up long down and distances. Liam Cohen, Mike was just mentioning him. Here's what he thought about the Trevor Lawrence go-ahead touchdown. And again, just to describe to you, if you've not seen this, it's one of the craziest plays you'll ever see. As time is running out, you have no more timeouts. Your quarterback's foot gets stepped on. He slips, falls. He's on the ground. You're going, Chiefs got him. He's dead to rights. Mm. He gets up and somehow escapes the pressure that was on him and finds his way into the end zone. Mike, sometimes you got to have a little luck on your side. That's what happened last night. Here's Liam Cohen.
He got stepped on, and he's coming out of it, and you're like, oh, my gosh, throw it away so we could have another down. Man, what an individual effort. I mean, obviously – tough moment where I can only imagine where he was at in that moment on the ground. But to get up, break what, three tackles or whatever it was, two tackles, and shed some dude off and go running in the end. I mean, that's an unbelievable individual effort. Yeah, we'd love it to be cleaner and just make it a nice executed play. But at the end of the day, it's about winning. And I'm proud of the toughness that he showed at the end of that game.
He's laughing on the sidelines as if to say, that should have never happened. They end up winning the game. Big win for them in Jacksonville. Andy Reid even was talking about the Trevor Lawrence go-ahead touchdown.
I thought we had him there, but he's a competitor. He had a good day running with his legs.
Chris Jones getting some heat. You know, one of their best defensive players, which is kind of being, well, a passerby or a pedestrian or just watching it, a witness to everything that happened on that last play. He's just standing there, you know? And so, I don't know. I thought it was a little too over the top because he's got to get from one side of the line to the other, and that's not his forte. He's going north-south and east-west. But just one part of it. The other aspect, and I sometimes felt that it gets to be too much, but it just is what it is with the Chiefs. The refs are always involved. There's always a decision where you go, come on now. And they set that pick play on the touchdown, and it's a clear violation. When you're not running a route and you're blocking, and Patrick Mahomes, you heard the microphone, it's within one yard of the line of scrimmage. And so that's part of what they do. They set those picks in the red zone in short yardage, and they had it. Conversely, when Trevor Lawrence throws the pick, the defender blocks off his receiver. Mm. I mean, it's a clear pass interference. The refs don't see it. But to your point earlier, and we talked about this on Twitch and on YouTube on our pre-show, Trevor Lawrence didn't get bogged down in that. He didn't shut down. It was something Troy Aikman said. In the past, he might get screwed up by that and was able to battle through it.
It's a good point. And a good win last night, and we got a good Monday night game. Hopefully we get a great Monday night game with our Falcons and Bills. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Basketball's back. Hawks opened up their preseason last night. They lose to the Rockets 122-113. Who cares? Don't get caught up in that. As I said, reasons for hope while you watch the preseason. Trae Young, 9 points, 8 assists. Richashe, 9 points. But we were talking about, the game that Nikhil had last night. 13 points. He shot the three ball really well. And then we saw a familiar face. Clint Capella's no longer with the Hawks, guys. He's now back with the Rockets.
So now it'll be Rockets ball. They lead by 13. They throw an alley-oop underneath, and they score with Clint Capella. 102-87. Hawks down by 15 now.
We've seen that play a million times with Trae Young. Nice little alley-oop. Wish Clint the best. He was always fun.
What you going to do about it?
Yeah, always fun with us.
Great with us on the show. You're right.
Yeah, and but Mike, I do think our team is better without Clint on it with the pieces that we picked up.
Right.
Clint Capella has butterfingers.
All right, Day-Day, who is Nefali Dante? Is this who this dude? He had 10 boards last night, by the way.
Nefali Dante.
I want to make sure I'm getting it right. It's an apostrophe F-A-L-Y. He's a first-year player from Oregon, 6'11". So I don't know if he's going to be D-League or G-League, I should say, yeah, after this. But anyway, that dude had some boards. I don't want to go Rick Kamla on you next level, but it is preseason. But yeah, they gave Richashe had the most minutes of anybody as he's continuing to develop, and also had a good job in the offseason playing with France. So good for him, man. Keep on trucking. And Jalen Johnson, 11 points, as you mentioned, in 17 minutes. Just stay healthy, baby. Stay healthy.
Yeah, that's really the key. Meanwhile, around the NBA, we found out that the Bucks and Knicks reportedly had discussions about trading for Giannis Antetokounmpo in the offseason. Knicks were offering, but it wasn't enough to compensate the Bucks.
Right.
I said to you guys, I would have traded Giannis. I feel like at this point, he's still great. Don't get me wrong. But for the Bucks, you've gotten everything you can get out of Giannis. You got a championship. I think they're just fearful. Like, nobody's going to show up at these games because he's still the attraction. You trade him away, why the hell am I going to watch the Bucks?
Right.
Like, look, there's nothing there.
Because you're in Milwaukee, you're right. But yeah, that's the thing. You'd have to give up some good first-round picks. So the Knicks would have had to have traded people to get better picks in the top 10 to make it worth Milwaukee's. Well, otherwise, you're just getting picks in the late first round because the Knicks are going to be competitive with Giannis. So that's why it fell apart.
No doubt. Hey, man, how much do you trust him? Is he willing to open up the playbook this week? We're going to find out a lot more about him. Who are we talking about? Stay there. We'll tell you coming up on Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How much do you trust him? No, I'm being serious. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Talking about Zach Robinson, our offensive coordinator. So you went from thinking he was an idiot after Carolina, and rightfully so, we didn't do anything well, to this is what the offense should look like after the win before the bye against the Commanders. By the way, we mentioned this, maybe we did, maybe we didn't. Commanders, by the way, it's a better win than you think it is. They went on the road, beat the Chargers last week. Jaden Daniels came back. They're still banged up a lot, but they found a way to get it done, and it just shows you, like, Dan Quinn's team is really good. They're well-coached. But when Jaden's out there, it's just a different deal. And I thought that was a really – it put a little bit extra on the win that we had against him. Because at the end of the year, it doesn't matter who played and who didn't play. Did you win or did you lose? Did you beat him or did you not? So, Mike, as we head into this Monday night game, how much do you trust Zach to open up the playbook against the Bills this week?
Well, I think that the Kyle Pitts is a guy you might want to get a little more usage out of. Just a suggestion, if I could throw that in the inbox. But, yeah, I think there's a guy that I think is underutilized. If Darnell Mooney's not 100%, then pivot more action, more throws towards Kyle Pitts. You know, I think that Michael Penix Jr. is capable of making all those throws. I mean, as I said, a young quarterback's going to have a clunker, and let's just chalk that up in Carolina and turn the page because you see what he's capable of doing. But this Buffalo defense, I think we can run the football. And this gets, look, the pistol argument, we debated with Arch last week. It's not going anywhere. So as much as I'd love to see Michael Penix Jr. under center and doing, you know, some play action, they'll maintain. You can still do all that stuff from the pistol, and it is what it is. So that's not going to change. But you're right. Dial up some stuff. The self-scouted looks. Make sure we're throwing some new stuff because you know McDermott's going to be looking at everything we did last week against the Commanders.
Yeah, which Falcon player offensively do you believe will have the most impact outside of Bijan Robinson? And that's what Mike's talking about. Yes, we know we've got to get the ball to Bijan. It is key number one for me offensively. But who else is going to have that kind of impact outside of Bijan and Tyler Allgeier? And again, split the carries, Mike. I don't know. I don't care how it works. If Bijan's hot, keep him in. Tyler's hot, let him get some more carries. I don't care how that ultimately looks as long as they're pounding these guys and we're getting yards and first downs and touchdowns out of it. But I would tell you guys, simply because of the way that the Bills play defense, Mike, I think you're onto this. I think Kyle Pitts could have another big game. And when I say another, he's only scored one touchdown. But, Mike, there are opportunities for him to score more than just one touchdown, I think, in this game. And I think he's the guy that could have the most impact outside of those running backs.
I know that we've mentioned over the years Shanahan did so many things right. And we talked about, you know, when do you give it to Coleman? When do you give it to Freeman? Sarkisian never picked up on that. Specifically in that divisional playoff game against the Eagles, when you know he just never seemed to have the right guy dialed in. This is something where I think Zach is getting a good handle on. I think there's times, certainly it's not just in the red zone because both guys are capable of scoring from anywhere on the field. But you're right, you know, sometimes it's good to give Bijan a chance to catch his breath and let Allgeier run with it and give him an entire series, right, all the way down the field.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I get you're giving guys a break, certain formations and sets, you're putting different guys in there. But for me, I'm with you. Like, if you're going to give a guy a series, let him go and you know, let him break this thing. But sometimes I also feel like teams are keying on Bijan, at least early in the season, Mike, so much that Tyler's able to come in and, like, clean things up. You know, it's kind of like that run he had for the touchdown. It was like, you know, Bijan's doing all this stuff, and then here's Tyler. He's just cleaning things up and running over guys. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think. One of the things that we know is going to be important is the return of A.J. Terrell. Yeah. We don't know right now what his status is. My guess is, Mike, we will know by Thursday when we get up there what the situation is.
We will pump Coach for information.
Yes.
But A.J. Terrell coming back, as we said, you know, doing his job. And look, as you said, it's not exactly like an all-star team of receivers, you know, with Buffalo, but they get the job done. So they wouldn't be going as far as they go every year in the playoffs without it. But you're right. You've got to have a guy that can do his job so the other defenders can focus. Don't have your back to Josh Allen, which is the big worry. And if A.J. Terrell is able to do his thing, that's great. But look, you know, that 23-20 Patriots win, it made you feel, as a fan, we said this yesterday, you wish maybe we had the Bills undefeated, maybe a little cocky, I don't know. But now you've seen some, they're human. If it bleeds, we can kill it. There's some things we could do against Buffalo. But I do think we can throw the football. And I think if you look at those receivers, you mentioned Dalton Kincaid. Who's D'ing him up? Is that Jesse Bates territory? Is that Xavier Watts territory?
It could be. I mean, we got safeties that can do those things. There's no doubt about it. By the way, just a few minutes ago, Raheem's doing his Monday. He usually does a Zoom with the media, mm-hmm. and so that's what's going on today because everything got pushed back a day. But he was saying that Xavier Watts, if he would have caught those potential interceptions in week one, he would have been the NFC Defensive Player of the Month, not just the Rookie Defensive Player right. of the Month. And he's right. I mean, that it was that close. You're probably talking about four picks now for Xavier Watts on the season. As far as Josh Allen, Raheem simply saying he's big and he's a problem everywhere. Duh. I'm telling you, I just don't think you ever go to one of these games, it doesn't matter what sport it is, and you finally get a chance to see a guy up close and personal, and you're like, damn. Like, you realize how big and physical, yeah. intimidating they are. That's Josh. Like, TV doesn't do him justice. When you see him up close and personal, you're going to be like, damn, he's thick, big, strong, and fast.
You sound like one of those nitwit influencers they had on the YouTube game down in Brazil. Let's go to so-and-so. Wow, these guys are really big. Thanks.
Damn.
Thanks, guy with like 15 gazillion followers. Yeah. That was some insight. But yeah, but it's true. I mean, and that's why I said it to Carl yesterday, just seeing Miami, you know, I didn't see him last year down at the Hard Rock, but to see the kind of athletes that the U has that can compete with anybody in the top five, Ohio States of the world, Oregon's of the world. That's, you're right. And this is something about, you know, Josh Allen is not allowing that back-breaking big first down run, you know, that gets that game-winning drive. But that seems to be that. Can you stop that? Can we do that? Do we have the athletes? We invested heavily on defense the last 2 years. This is going to be a hell of a test.
Oh, it really is. Ross saying today that AJ will practice this week.
All right.
But they're not saying whether he'll be playing. See, remember, this is like the Darnell Mooney thing. He's practicing. Yeah. He's practicing. Is he going to be ready? And speaking of Darnell, what's up, Darnell? Man, I need you back. Cordell Hodge and Darnell Mooney, they'll know more this week. Like I said, when we get up there Thursday, Mike, that's 2 days away. We should know a lot more where things are.
And we've talked about how bad the field position has been, and we've got to be better at that. But Cordarrelle Hodges, again, you know, he's one of the NFL Pro Bowlers, you know, consummate Pro Bowlers as a special teamer. So getting him back in the mix, I mean, I guess he's a force multiplier because, man, we've been some brutal, brutal teams, as they say, this season.
If that continues, something has to change. That means firing somebody else.
Well,
I mean, Mike, you cannot continue to allow special teams to play such a role in your L's.
Marquise Williams has been around since 21.
You can't.
You know, and we've had some good special teams over the years on this team, but that's got to be addressed. If the injuries are the excuse, but you're going to hold him to the same standard you held Ike Hilliard, then you're on thin ice.
Yeah. No, we like Marquise. He's got to do a better job of whatever the messaging is to get these guys to play up to their
stay
ability.
in your lane.
But if it doesn't happen, if Monday night we're still talking about special teams and Tuesday we roll in here, Mike, and it's like, oh, well, if they wouldn't have given up this kick and a kick didn't get blocked or they missed this, I'm going to go off because that you can attribute every loss to how special teams has played this season.
It is tough, as Carl mentioned, kind of getting out. Carl, we're just talking off the air, take you behind the curtain. It's like you're out of rhythm because we don't have a Falcons game to talk about. We're going to wait all the way till Monday. Again, special show with us, Andy, Randy. It's going to be a mashup. It's going to be a lot of fun over at Signia.
Yes, it is.
At their sports bar.
I don't even know if we'll talk sports, to be honest with you. We may not.
I know. We just might.
Abe, we may not.
This game's going to suck.
By the way, Abe is just wearing us out. I mean, he literally had a show. For those, you can imagine, you know, we just show up and just BS, but we have an outline.
Who cares about that? We just show up.
But Abe is trying to get us a show sheet, like a week before the show.
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
This is true.
I mean, so many things can happen. Because we got college games to talk about on Monday. Could be an alien invasion. You know, you don't know where this thing could go. You know,
Taylor Swift. It's an alien invasion. Abe's the right guy you went on to do.
Right. Taylor Swift could call it off. She could break it off with Kelsey for all we know.
You know what? That's very possible. Mike's right. I mean, there's just so many things that are going on.
A lot of variables in the equation.
There is.
We were joking around with Randy on the way out. Like, Randy just rolled his eyes. But anyway, so we will be working Monday. But
don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
We will be in the throwbacks, guys, coming up on Monday.
Oh, that's right.
The red lids, the old school, which I think is the cleanest, tightest Falcon uniform we got. And we do well in it, man. We've got a great win-loss record in those old school unis, so looking forward to it.
By the way, speaking of Taylor Swift, did you see what she said? She was on Jimmy Fallon last night. Did you guys see this? Why she has not said yes to the Super Bowl? She says Jay-Z and all the folks that are behind the scenes have asked, or at least they've had conversations. She said he's not officially asked, but they've had conversations. And basically, Mike, this came down to her being all in on Travis and supporting what Travis is doing and doesn't want to take away from that if she was to potentially do the Super Bowl. Well, we know she's not doing it this year. Bad bunny. Right. But Isn't this supposed to be his last year? Has he said this is going to be his last year?
So, I mean, what's the concern that Travis Kelce couldn't be in the – he would come outside to watch the show and he wouldn't be in the locker room?
She says she's locked in.
And by the way – That's what she said.
She says she's
We're going to ask Arch this. Coming up, he'll be on here in about a half hour. I've heard – you and I have been doing this show forever. Do they make halftime adjustments or they just tell guys – move over 3 inches, move over, take another angle, because I've heard...
They eat a bunch of Uncrustables.
I've literally heard that halftime adjustments are the biggest fallacy in the NFL, or they really do happen. It's like, but then why do teams who score then all of a sudden don't score? Why do things change so demonstrably in so many games?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll ask Archie about that, because, you know, again, it's the longest halftime in the NFL season, the Super Bowl halftime.
Now, it's funny you say this, because last week, the Texas-Florida game was on, and EJ Manuel, my man EJ, was like, if I'm Florida, I change nothing at halftime. Right. I literally had the guys come up and go, fellas, we're doing the same thing. And he said, I was the coach, I wouldn't change anything. And to your point, you wonder at some points in these games, that doesn't happen. But, Mike, I think it depends. If you're in a game where you're not executing and you know certain things should be working, you're going to call a few different plays. You're going to talk about it. But at the end of the day, like, I think people feel like we're in these movies all the time where a coach comes in and throws a chair or a clipboard and, like, goes off. That doesn't happen.
All these inches add up to that yard. You know, but I will say this, any given Sunday, because, you know, Oliver Stone was on a lot of cocaine when he made that movie, admittedly. Day-Day, when they're at the halftime show, they turn halftime to like a MASH unit. Everybody, like they're doing triage. I know injuries are part of it, but I mean, it was just so over the top. Well, I ask Arch about this because, you know, some guys go, nah, not really. And some guys go, yeah. Like Brent Key didn't throw a nutty at halftime at Wake Forest. He basically kept it all businesslike.
Yeah.
You know, Jimbo Fisher occasionally would throw nutties, according to, you know, guys I know that were in those locker rooms back in the old days. Didn't work for Texas A&M, that's for darn sure.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, sometimes it connects, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know, man. But all right, we'll ask Arch that question. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And again, tomorrow we're out in Hiram. Come join us at Buffalo's Cafe. We'll be out there from 2 to 6 tomorrow having a good time. But just getting you caught up on all the injury news with the Falcons, and this is kind of where we are. Basically what Ra is saying, at least right now, and we'll know more at the end of the week, that most of these guys will probably practice. They had a week off. They had a week of recovery. They had treatment, all those things. And he's basically telling us we still have to wait and see on some of these injuries. Goodell Hodge, Darnell Mooney, AJ will practice, but that doesn't mean he's going to play, because if he was going to play, he'd tell you. So that's kind of where we are, Mike, when you talk about what the injury situation looks like.
I know that AJ Terrell, the hamstring, that was what? It goes back to week two. So right?
That's right. Yeah.
So if you're thinking about a timeline, and the only thing that's going to help a hamstring injury is rest, and there's various grades on
Miami!
So, yeah, I mean, we talked about Travis Hunter last night, and he looked like his was giving him some discomfort, trying to trade. I think I want to say it was Xavier Worthy. It could have been Hollywood Brown. Either way, trying to, find that other gear, and then, now your heel toned it back to the sideline.
Hey, man, remember, we've got an NFL quadruple header coming up Sunday. Starting at 9:15, it's Broncos taking on the Jets in London. Then the Cowboys at the Panthers. Titans at the Raiders. Followed by Sunday Night Football, that's Lions Chiefs. All because the Falcons play Monday night. So we're carrying all the games for you. We are your home for the NFL right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, windownation.com. There has been a trade in the NFL. And I think this is one of those trades that may pay dividends. We'll tell you who got traded next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.